Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's time to celebrate. In 2022, WBNS turned 100 years old.
All right, then, let's celebrate.
I'm not joking.
Let's celebrate!
So how the hell did that happen? Join us as we journey back in time to talk to the people who were there for some of it. Welcome to the WBNS 100 Year Anniversary Special.
We can't bust heads like we used to.
Here's your host.
But we have our ways.
Timmy Hall.
All right. What's going on, all of you fine fans of the fan? You might have heard. Yes, indeed. It's a birthday. We are having a little party. Because WBNS Radio has turned 100. Man, that's a lot of years. I quickly sit back and reflect on that, and I think of myself, I'm going into my 10th year here. I can't believe I've made it 10 years at one radio station. We've got folks that you're going to hear from on this hour-long broadcast that have been here 25 years, longer than 30 years, and that just astonishes me. Those people will certainly have some perspective, some stories to tell about how this station has evolved, how it has grown, how it has changed throughout the years, changed formats, changed from AM to FM. I mean, we've changed contracts with some of the sports teams that you now hear today, and it's going to be a fun listen to. So to set up the table, T-Bone's going to be along. He grew up in this town. He remembers listening to guys like Skip Mossick and Dom Tiberi when he was growing up. Skip and Dom, who had one of the great morning shows here back in the day, they will be by in the next segment to talk about that. Then I will spend some time with the one, the only common man, Mike Ricordati, and Bob Taylor, who handles production and imaging here at The Fan. And he is one of those 30-plus year guys. Even Mike, he's coming up on a 20-year guy. We'll ask him about that. We'll get the story from both of those guys. And we'll finish things up with one of the most legendary, iconic voices in Columbus, and that's Paul Keels, who brings to you every single Ohio State football and Ohio State basketball game. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun here. Oh, and when we're done listening to this broadcast, you can check your favorite show's podcast feed. You might want to go to the Buckeye Show's podcast feed. So I'm the one here, I can tell you that. Go to your favorite show's podcast feed, and there will be some extended commentary. I can tell you right now, Bob Taylor and Mike Ricordati, the common man, we in no way could fit what we were talking about into the 8 or 10 minute segment that you are going to hear. I think it wound up being closer to 30 minutes where we listened to many old sounds of the station, bloopers, jingles, iconic voices that Bob Taylor has had the privilege to edit in the past. It's going to be fun. I will start things off by handing it off to Skip Mossick, who's going to be along, like I just said, in the next segment to tell you more. But he does a wonderful job here narrating the story of WBNS Radio.
WBNS Radio, AM and FM, Columbus.
In 1922, C.A. Entrekin of the Entrekin Electric Company started WCAH out of the living room of his home. In the early 1930s, the Wolf family, owners of the Columbus Dispatch, purchased WCAH and later changed the call letters to WBNS for the acronym Wolf Banks News and Shoes. In 1933, a new transmitter was built in East Columbus on Barnett Road, along with a new radio tower, which is still in use today. The 350-foot-tall, diamond-shaped Blaw Knox radio tower is one of only five of these unique towers left in the United States. In the early days, WBNS did it all, broadcasting music, news, sports, both in-studio and on remote locations. It was even a CBS affiliate all before WBNS-TV was founded. WBNS experimented with the FM band in the 1940s, but it didn't catch on until the Wolf family acquired the 97.1 FM frequency in 1957, where the format was easy listening for many years. For years, many Columbus residents began their day listening to such icons as the Early Worm, Irwin Johnson, Into the 70s, WBNS was again very popular, led by the morning show duo of Jack and Dick.
Jack and Dick!
Remote broadcasting changed in those days, and WBNS had its own studio on wheels called Rolling Radio. It could broadcast from almost anywhere in Central Ohio and was a staple at places like the Ohio State Fair. Into the 1980s, WBNS took a chance on a young broadcaster who's still hanging around today. Ohio State football has always been huge in Columbus.
Back there's a pass. Look out for this. It's a touchdown, Ohio State.
Gannowitz boots it. It is good.
He's up to the midfield marker. There he goes, Hopalong Cassidy.
And it's Griffin coming up the middle. 35-20.
15-5. Touchdown. 10-5. End zone. Touchdown.
Play right side, steps up and gets to the end zone. Troy Smith.
And after broadcasting Ohio State games for decades, WBNS secured the rights to be the flagship station for the Ohio State Radio Network in 1983 before becoming the exclusive rights holders in 1987. At that time, WBNS began simulcasting Ohio State games on WBNS FM 97.1.
Sports Radio 1460, your fan, WBNS.
After being a full-service news and talk station for many years playing various types of music, WBNS transitioned to an all-sports format in 1994 and featured many bright and some future stars. In January 2009, the format of WBNS FM changed and Mix 97.1 officially became 97.1 The Fan, bringing the all-sports format to the FM dial to where we are today. WBNS is the flagship home of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Henderson left side to the end zone for the touchdown.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
It's in the slot, shoots, and he scores!
The Columbus Crew.
The shot by Etienne Jr. is a goal for Columbus!
And is Columbus's home of the Cleveland Browns.
10-5, he's in!
So happy birthday, WBNS. Much has changed over the past 100 years, but 1460 and 97.1 will always be here for you as Columbus's heritage sports talker and Ohio's sports destination. 97.1, The Fan.
Just a fantastic look back. And folks, we're just getting started. You're going to hear from Skip Mossick and Dom Tiberi next and many other great guests over the course of the hour as we are celebrating 100 years of WBNS.
Hey, it's our birthday.
Everybody's wishing me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
You're listening to the WBNS 100-year anniversary special. Here's Timmy Hall.
All right, friends, our 100-year celebration continues, and we're going to go back to the beginning of the sports format, and we are going to catch up with the original morning crew. You know him now on 10 TV. That's Dom Tiberi. He's been giving you your sports there for 40 years, and Skip Mossick is still here at The Fan today. He is your point person for the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Would have sounded a little bit like this. What a little transition to their show would have been like back then.
And now, back to The Fan Sports Desk. Once again, the morning team, Skip Mossick and Dom Tiberi.
I'll also do even better than that, as I'll give you an actual transition going from an update back to their show as I kick things over to Jonathan Smith, who was a big fan of that show. You might know him as T-Bone, so take it away.
Your next update is in 20 minutes. I'm DR Rails back in The Fan.
The morning team on The Fan. Sports Radio 1460 WBNS.
We invented sports talk in this town. The Fan, Sports Radio 1460.
Thanks, Timmy. It's T-Bone here and talking with two guys who have as much to do with the history of this WBNS signal as anyone who is currently working here. They are Skip Mossick, Dom Tiberi, two guys who have hosted radio show together on this station. Dom, of course, is a star of TV and film now and the guy you've probably watched do your nightly sports news for the last
what better part of 40 years?
Film. When I started, it was video. So don't make me that old. It's only been 41 years.
Let's go to the film, Dom.
That I've been a 10. Yeah, the film. And no, believe it, it was video. It was the size of Skip's head, but it was video.
There you go. And, of course, Skip Mossick has done many things, including a dance party that he's famous for. But behind the scenes, Skip kind of is the reason why you hear Ohio State football and basketball and every other sport that Ohio State does on the Ohio State Radio Network, and of course on The Fan. He's the producer of all those broadcasts as well. Affiliate relations.
Keep going.
Got T to Green. He's one of the purest radio personalities I've ever worked with. Now, gentlemen,
can you tell that he's the boss? The way that my goodness, and while you're giving accolades, he is a Hall of Famer at Swimland.
That came up last week with your appearance over at Whitehall Yearling High School.
They said this is the Skip Mossick Memorial. It was a toilet. What the hell? They gave you a toilet.
Thank you so much, my friends in Whitehall.
That's great. I love it. So obviously you two have worked together for a long time. You guys did a show. We talked about this a few years ago when the 25th anniversary of The Fan. We talked about you guys hosting the morning show here, Skip and Dom. But you both didn't start working at the same time, correct? Why don't you both tell me, like, Skip, I'll let you go first. When did you start working here at The Fan or working at WBNS?
I started in 85, and Dom had been at TV for, what, about 4 or 5 years?
4 years. 81 I started.
So, and again, Bone just started doing everything. And, you know, that was back in the day where we were manned 24-7. There was always somebody around. Automation was just a figment of an imagination, so there were more opportunities to get into the business, and I just followed the advice that somebody gave me a long time ago. Just be ready to, if you get in the door, be willing and ready to do whatever they say.
Get to the chair is what I heard when I got in. It's like just whatever they offer you, just go try to get a piece of it, try to learn how to do it. But Dom, like you said, you started at WBNS on the TV side. Yeah. You had like, what was your first day? Wasn't there some
March 30th, 1981? Two major news events happened that day.
Right.
First of all, I had just turned 22. I came back from Daytona Beach, Florida, and spring break. Literally just turned 22, and I walk in here, and you know, being a kid from Columbus, I grew up like Skip. You know, watching these guys. You know, I walk in, there's Joe Holbrook and Lee Velicities and Lou Forrest and Dave Kaler and Bill Pepper and
Briscoe still here then?
And Roy Briscoe and all that. And I'm like, oh, my God, these are my heroes. And I'm sitting there like a nervous kid in church. And all of a sudden, back then, you know, there were no computers. It was ticker tape. And started going off and bells and whistles. And then all of a sudden, you hear come over the, they called it the mothership. That was the assignment desk. And they had these big speakers and said, this is CBS News. And we are breaking into coverage. There's been an attempt on President Reagan's life.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that was, and then the big sporting event that night. I don't know if you guys, you weren't born, T-Bone, and Skip obviously was, but
I was close.
Bob Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers, they almost canceled the game, but Indiana beat Dean Smith and North Carolina that night to win the NCAA tournament. They ended up playing the game, but yeah, that was my first day, and it's been a marathon ever since.
You guys are lifetime Columbus residents. You know Columbus sports well. How much has changed from when you started to now?
Nothing. Well, first of all, obviously Ohio State will always be Ohio State. But back, I mean, this is way before the Blue Jackets were even thought of. It was before the Chill even came back into existence. So all there was, we had the Clippers. And
well, we didn't have the Clippers for a while.
For a while. They came back in, what, 78, 77?
They came back as the Pirates. Yeah. I just remember on the TV side, I mean, radio, we were playing oldies, you know, 1460 oldies, and then what did we have on 97?
It was Easy Listening.
Yeah, easy listening on 97.1 WBNS.
But think about this. Back when I started here, the Coliseum, the Fairgrounds Coliseum was the place to go, you know. And now look what we have. We have two beautiful state-of-the-art arenas in Nationwide in the Shot. Back when I started here, I mean, we would give results of the horse races out at Scioto Downs.
Oh, sure.
Because there really, because for a while we didn't have the Clippers. And then when the Clippers came back, you know, but it was like, now you got the crew and you got the Blue Jackets and, you know, you've got all the stuff that they've got up at Ohio State. It's absolutely insane. And to think that, you know, back when we first started, I mean, Souda Downs, I mean, it's still a big deal, but it's like, it was, you know, the brown jug, all that. You know?
It was, I mean, that's what's changed the most. I mean, this city has just exploded. And that's the reason why this radio station is so popular and does as well as we do today is because of all of the wonderful sports that we have in different leagues here in this city. I mean, it's just amazing how much it's grown up and developed back from the early 80s.
And the diversity of it. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of people. I mean, Columbus is still a grown city, and you've got people, and sometimes we forget that.
What do you guys remember of WBNS, the signal, the station, when you weren't working here? Do you have any recollections of that 1460 back then, anything like that?
I grew up east side, so it was, so 1460 booms out east with the transmitter on Barnett Road over by Dom's favorite high school, Bishop Hartley, was right, just booms straight east. And so I grew up as a kid listening to, you know, Jack and Dick and everything else that was going on in the mornings. And so as a kid, it was like, it was a big deal for me, not just to get a job, but to get a job here. It was so cool. And obviously, you know, the friendships and the relationships and the co-workers that I met with, you know, Dom over the years, our partnership was just, I mean, it's just so fun. You look back at it right now and you see like, man, there's parts that I miss, parts that I don't miss.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure you don't miss chopping up reel-to-reel tape and all that stuff.
Remember when we used to do the radio and we go on the road with the football? I mean, we literally had a truck full of stuff and a bee.
Right, you guys said, I mean, the amount of equipment that would have to follow you is probably like what the football team brings now with their semi-truck full of gear. And now you're right. I mean, Skip, you can put that all in a road case or two and check it as a bag on a plane and fly to anywhere and do the broadcast.
Let me tell you, when I did the sidelines back when Coop was coach, and this equipment they gave
it's
me.
Like carrying a car
it was like
battery.
Carrying a whatever, and I'm going, what? And now they hand me a mic, and that's it.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. Well, last thing I have for you, real quick, memories of Ohio Stadium. The stadium, the shoe, is 100 years old, as well as WBNS signal. Any thoughts about your time as a radio? You gave one, Dom. Skip, do you have any memories there of the stadium? I know you're in it quite frequently.
Well, the track was still there when I started. And the south stands were erected and taken down every year because they had the high school state track championships.
Right.
They'd have to take them down, you know, at the end of every season after the high school championships. They put them back up.
Right.
It's like a big erector set every single year. And, boy, just the renovation after renovation after renovation over the years. Just watching that old gal just continue to change, but it's still the great historic place that it is.
I get goosebumps going in there. And, you know, I put out on social media the other day your fondest memories because when we celebrated, and I've got so many. I mean, I think back to that 2006 Ohio State-Michigan game, 1-2, first time that ever happened. And I think about all the times I've watched the band come down the ramp and the goosebumps I get every time they come in. I mean, it never stops. I always want to see the drum major bend over and touch mean, it's all that stuff. And we have it pretty good here in Columbus. And it's, to me, I've always said that Columbus is the biggest college town in America. And, I mean, there's college teams in Los Angeles and all the major – but this is a college town, and it's the biggest. And, you know, Buckeye Nation is so passionate about the football team and the basketball team and the programs. And, you know, we're blessed to be along for the ride. That's what I mean. Don't tell anyone. I would have done this stuff for free. I mean, because – and I know all three of us would because it's really – you know, growing up here like all of us
almost
did.
I mean,
Well, but this is like a dream come true. We grew up here. It's our hometown.
Well, and to put the bow on it, I will tell you guys both, I think I've told you both this privately, but you two are two of the reasons why I got into this business. I listened to your show. I listened to Terry Smith in the locker room back in the day. Yeah. No, gents, thanks for that. You paid it forward to me, so I appreciate it. And
thanks,
thank you guys for all you've done here. We appreciate it.
You got it, T-Bone.
All right, T-Bone.
Thank you, T-Bone, Dom, and Skip. As we continue celebrating 100, up next, you are going to love the story of how the common man came to be here at this station. We'll also catch up with our major behind-the-scenes guy, helps keep this station sounding the way it sounds, production man, Bob Taylor. That's coming up as WBNS turns 100.
Hey, it's our birthday. Listening to the WBNS 100-year anniversary special. Here's Timmy Hall.
All right, everybody, back on the 100-year special here, celebrating 100 of WBNS. I'm Timmy Hall, and in the studio with us, we've got our behind-the-scenes guy extraordinaire, our production man, Bob Taylor, and also the one, the only, the common man, Mike Ricciardotti. Boys, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here. This is the highlight of my life.
I'm sure it is.
Being here with Bob.
You love it.
Bob's got the dirt on everybody. Bob has all the old recordings that make us sound terrible.
For over 30 years of you guys.
You could blackmail anybody who's ever worked at this station.
That's why you got to be nice to me.
I think that's the number one thing that people should know about Bob is that none of us could wrong Bob.
No.
We know that everything that has ever been done in one of these off-air studios likely has been recorded by Bob, and he keeps a file of you everywhere.
And Bob has a very comfortable face. So when you look at Bob's face, you just want to be very honest with him and tell him all your deep, dark thoughts. Mm-hmm. But he's recording you, and he will use it to blackmail you in the future.
That is a possibility, yes.
So before we have some fun and listen to some old things from years through the station and through some of the formats as well, because Bob has worked here for, well, why don't you start, Bob? How many years have you worked here now?
It'll be 34 years in December, if I last that long.
34 years.
Yep.
What was life like when you started at WBNS?
It was a lot more difficult back then because we had no digital anything. It was all tapes. And so just editing itself was a major project every time. Just one little edit to edit one thing out. You had to read the whole script all the way through perfect or else I'd have to edit, and we don't want that. But, you know, when editing on reel-to-reel, you'd have to mark, you know, you got your little section you want to edit out. So you have to mark on the tape with a China marker, you know, this the source in and the source out, you know, the two marks. You pull the tape down onto your little editing block. Take a razor blade, cut the tape in the two places, put them together, use splicing tape, splice them together, and then listen to it and see if you did okay. Nowadays, you just...
Now you're hardly working.
No, don't say that. But you just highlight it and delete it. That's all you do now.
Now that it's digital, it's just like robotics do all the work for them. And back then, I assume you were keeping the power on with somebody running in a hamster wheel as well.
It's very physical activity editing back then, and you cut your fingers all the time. So you had a pack of razor blades next to you. You know.
Well, now the only razor blades are you and your cocaine that you just have constantly around
Thank
here.
You. You had to go there, didn't you?
Why? Hey, we're in here screwing around. You'll use that to blackmail yourself at some point.
Whoa.
What about you, Mike? How many years is this for you?
2023 will be my 20th year here at the radio station.
Wow. 20th year.
20th year. And I go on the air every single day hoping they will fire me, mm-hmm. and it hasn't happened yet.
And I like how that comes out in your shows. Like, the envelope just continues to be pushed day after day. Some things that the Queen says, I feel like when you take on other voices, maybe the more comes out.
That's not me.
Yeah. That's right. You're invoking somebody else. You can't be held responsible.
I'm possessed by Dead Queen. And I could go. Somebody says, why don't you just go on the air and just start swearing? That's like corking your bat. That's cheating.
Right.
All right.
My dream.
That's your dream. But I'm going to go up to that line. And just move it a little bit more every single day see what happens.
What was the first air shift you had when you started here?
Well, the first air shift that I had, I wasn't even employed here. I came on my interview, and I thought I was just interviewing for the job. And the program director at the time, Larry Gifford, what are you laughing at, Bob?
No laugh.
there was a little laugh there. So I come in, and I'm, you know, nervous and interviewing, and he said, okay, we're going to put you on the air this afternoon. This was, and still is, a very odd occurrence.
Yes.
For an interview. Now, it would be one thing if he said, I have an empty studio.
Right.
I want you to go in there, do 30 minutes or an hour and I'm going to listen to it. You don't just throw somebody on the air. But he did. He threw me on the air that day. And so I was unprepared, and it was me and Herbie and Doug Lascelles, who used to do TV in town here. And in fairness to Herbie, because I'm not Herbie's biggest fan, he was very nice to me that day and was sort of surprised by the entire situation. So he went out of his way to sort of make me sound good, which I'm sure he regrets to this day. Because he could have ended my career right then.
That's so, that's crazy. Yes, I mean, that's for so, and you were coming from your stint in California, was it?
I was, right before this? I was in between jobs. I was working out in California. Things did not work out there. So I moved back to Chicago, and I'm like picking up some part-time work, and I'm living with my parents. And this was actually going to be my last go. I was going to go on this interview.
Wow.
And if I didn't get the job here, I had a job lined up for the following Monday to go sell cars. I was going to be a car salesman. And I was giving up on radio. I was finished with it.
Wow.
And so I got this job, and here it is, 20 years later.
How many years did you work before you got this job? I mean, what were you doing before then? Like, how many years were you
in radio? I did music radio before. So I did, like, the morning show, like active rock type of music, stuff that the Blitz plays.
Okay.
And so I worked out in California at an active rock station, and I had signed a contract to go out there in Bakersfield, California. And so I get out there. I was out there for a couple months. Terrible company. I think they're out of business now. And about 2 months into my stay there, the program director comes to me and says, hey, you know, that contract that we signed you to, yeah, we don't have any money. We can't pay you. And so I'm like looking at him like a little boy. And I ask him, I said, well, can I sue you?
he said, well, you
can, but the company doesn't have any money. That's the problem. Right. And so I just put all my stuff in a U-Haul. Wow. I didn't have the balls to go right home, right? Because then I was just admitting failure to everybody. So instead, I went to L.A., and I stayed with a buddy of mine who was working at the station K-Rock in Los Angeles.
K-Rock.
And I picked up some part-time air shifts there, and I was sleeping on his couch. Remember, the first day I was out there, he had a condo overlooking Manhattan Beach out there. And I was like, I'm going to go out on the balcony and drink coffee. I don't know why that always appealed to me, is to like go on the balcony and drink. I wasn't a coffee drinker, but I was going to go out there and drink coffee. And I'm looking out at the ocean, California sunrise, drinking this coffee I don't like. And just as sort of a punctuation mark on my career at that point, there was a homeless guy squatting and crapping right on the beach.
Squatting and crapping.
Right in front of me. And I said, I think I'm going to go back to Chicago now.
How poetic, because for your entire time hosting shows at the Brewery District, you get to look at
that's right. We and always so had many. The homeless people.
But things are going so well for you at that point in time.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic. I had heard the story about you being thrown on the air for the interview, but I had no idea what that transition was like. I don't think you'd ever told me that before. That was
going
to
be it. If I didn't get this job, I was done. I was finished with it.
That's Mike Ricciardotti, guys. That's the Common Man. You know him. And Bob Taylor, the other voice you've been hearing, our master of productions, who you've heard his voice. And man, like, as I've heard some of the examples of you from 20, 30 years ago, obviously your voice has changed a lot. And
yeah, a little bit.
You're the guy that you do everything from imaging, from any time a guy has a commercial, if Common Man has to come in here and voice a spot. You can't see where he's sitting, but he's on the other side of the computer banks right now, and Bob is in his spot where he's got the board in front of him, and he's got another console behind him to his left. He edits it, he takes it all in, and he can mess with us if he wants to.
I sure can.
If you make two or three mistakes.
I usually do. I want to hear some old stuff, though. Yeah, what do you have?
Let's do that right now. Let's take the break. Let's get to the jingles and things that are actually what people want to hear from the station.
I love
the
this stuff. I love the old time radio.
You know
stuff.
I do too. I've got pretty much all the jingles, at least as long as I've been here, of, you know, sports radio. Well, you know, in the early days when we were 1460 WBNS, and then we switched to oldies, and then we switched to mix, and we got all those jingles. Do you want to play
all
right now?
So yeah, we've got about 7 to 10 things boiled down from about 7 to 10 billion things. So yeah. Let's
give me a week to put this together.
That's what you get. You get what you get, you know? Start us off with just a few of these, you know, 4 to 7 second jingles or whatever, examples of what the station used to sound
like.
Yeah,
this is early stuff. You played this stuff, Mike. This kind of-
The voice of the Buckeyes.
I love it.
It's crisp.
Yeah.
It's good.
There's a great
football sounds.
We have maybe 50, 60 of those at least.
Can you imagine the production houses?
Oh, gosh.
That used to exist that just employed singers like this.
Yeah.
Jingle singers. That used to be a job.
Right.
Now it's obsolete. Nobody gets that done. And nor should they. That was a specific time in radio history. That's gone. But. Yeah. I love that, and I think about all the people that this business used to employ. Even when I first started here, we used to have 3 producers in the studio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're right.
We had one guy running the board, we had one guy answering the phones, and we had somebody else as like a liaison doing
stuff.
You'd
have someone editing sound.
Yeah, editing
sound. From your show.
That's how I first started as a producer, is that I was the third producer, and my entire job was finding play-by-play cuts and standing in front of a big magnet and erasing the carts.
Right.
These 8-track looking cassette things.
Yeah. And the studios, that's the walls, you know, were carts. Cart racks.
The entire studio was covered with it.
At 175 South 3rd, where we used to be when I first started, all the production, we had 2 production rooms, 2 on-air, at least the control rooms, just lined with cart racks. And carts.
Let's hear some more. Play the rest of them.
Sure. Here's Oldies, which we switched to is a pretty big step from going from easy listening type stuff to this.
Oldies 97.1.
Now, this one you'll like, Mike.
Oldies 97.1.
Oh, no. Cool? I love that.
97.1.
I love they have the multiple voices in the background there, just instructed to laugh. Gotcha.
What's cool on these jingle packages too? They've got it without the music too, so you just got the singers and the laughing. You know, just no music. It's fun to listen to that. We had B97. I can't find those. Matt has them somewhere, but then we switched to Mix 97.1.
90s now, a better mix. Mix 97.1.
I remember in the final days of the mix format, it pretty much turned into, we would make fun of it because it was like, oh, Gwen Stefani once an hour.
Oh, gosh.
Gwen Stefani every hour. And the 80s stuff sort of went away. It was just Gwen Stefani, that song from the Gorillaz. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
There's another one I used to
remember.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Voice sounded like Avril Lavigne before she hit it big and singing.
It was not Avril Lavigne.
In the early 2000s.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a male version and a female version of all these. But I'm not going to play
it. You said all these. You said all these like the grocery store.
No, not all these. All of these. My goodness.
Is that all?
Sports Radio 1460. The Fan, WBNS, Columbus.
We had
Sing the City.
Yeah, just one CD of that. We didn't play it too much.
So to continue on past some of the jingles now, we'll have some examples of Bob, some of the brushes with fame that you've had through the years, and then some clips from Mike doing some of the shows in the past, and also just... what it sounds, I guess I won't give it away for you what else we have beyond that, but
I don't know what's coming.
Don't worry.
I have no idea.
Bob, start us off with the two media icons that you got to edit for.
Well, one of the biggest things that happened to me was when Dick Clark was in town and he was promoting a restaurant. And I can't remember that. I want to say Hard Rock Cafe, but I'm not positive on that. But anyway, okay. He was in town. He needed to record his show. It's called U.S. Music Survey, you know, like a top 40 countdown, like Casey Kasem.
Yeah, yeah.
So he needed to record his lines, and he needed somewhere to record them, so he did it in our studio. And he was with me for about 40, 45 minutes, and it was just amazing having him in the booth right next to me. And here's a little blooper from him. That's not it. See? Here's a little blooper from him.
Now, what do you suppose will be at number one this week when we get there? I'll tell you what, let's take a look at last week's top three for some clues. Whitney Houston and CeCe Winans moved up to number three on the countdown. CeCe, pick up. Whitney Houston and CeCe Winans moved up to number three with Count on Me.
That's the extent of his bloopers.
That's it.
He just said BS one time, but I'm
fart
not gonna,
sound.
Yeah, fart sound.
Dick Clark, big fart sound guy.
But this is the biggest part.
Now,
of
you've
it.
Just heard the 20 biggest hits of the week based on the chart of Radio and Records, the Music Industry Trade Authority. The U.S. Music Survey is written by Guy Aoki, engineered by Steve Nelson and Bob Taylor, and produced by Jim Zoller and Dick Clark.
Said my name.
He said your name.
Said my
the
name.
Guy from the rockin' New Year's Eve said your name.
Said my dame, yes.
One of the guys.
Yes.
Shopping at Aldi's.
Now, another thing, I used to do Larry King promos, and it was I'd lift stuff from his show to promote the next night show.
You actually were married to him, too.
Really?
You were one of his nine
wives.
Bob Taylor, look at my suspenders. Garlic is magnifique.
When I first started here, I started at 11 at night. That was my first shift, 11 working in the mornings.
That's when I get revved up. 11 o'clock.
So you said we re-aired his
re-aired
show.
His show,
because
yeah.
The show aired, what,
like
from 11 a.m. to 2?
And then 2 to 5, and then Tom Hamilton would come in and yell at me.
Voice of the Guardians.
Yes, yes. But he was our sports guy back then.
You got any Larry?
But, yeah, here's a promo I did.
Who's on tonight, Larry?
David Brinkley will be our guest.
Wow, David Brinkley?
David Brinkley.
The David Brinkley.
David Brinkley.
Gosh, nice guy.
Tough guy.
Yeah, wow.
Took no prisoners, this guy.
Yeah, that's it. Who's that again?
Now I've even forgotten his name.
Me too. Who?
Come on, he's famous.
Yeah, Cortez?
Not Cortez. No.
Well, he's famous, but...
What are you, crazy?
I just forgot. Brinkley. Brinkley.
David Brinkley.
There we go. David Brinkley. Tonight on The Larry King Show on WBNS Radio.
Look at you.
That's yeah. Good.
Be bopping and scatting with Larry.
I just thought that up one night. It's like, let me make a promo. And then Skip, I have a bunch of these things. And Skip sent them to Mutual Broadcasting. And then they put them on the air and talked about me.
That's great stuff. Who's the guy that did that? Bob Taylor. Hey, Bob, super stuff. Good editing. That's funny. Funny jazz.
He was talking about a different promo.
Let's get married.
And I was, my whole body was just tingling. He said my name on
it.
I'm standing in the studio while he's saying my name.
He was only on wife number three at that point in time, though. So
you're right.
And I like the fresh meat.
And then Jim Bohannon talked to me about me on the air.
Before we take this next call, I want to pay special homage tonight to one particular individual, Bob Taylor of WBNS in Columbus, Ohio, our affiliate there. Bob does the production work at WBNS and does a superb job. Uh-huh. And I had a chance to talk to him the other night. Very intelligent young man. And
I could go on and on, but you know.
You could, but for time's sake, don't. I want to get to some of Mike's clips. Before you do,
I don't know what this
is. I don't have.
Before you do, transition us to sports real quick and give the people an example of one of the tickers. This was, I think at the time, called the 20-minute ticker for 1460 AM.
Yes, I hope you didn't forget that because we just reviewed that with Kelly Quinn here.
1460 WBNS 20-minute ticker.
The Buckeye football team receiving three more commitments over the weekend. Here's Bill. Hey.
That's the only example I have of that line. Right?
Oh, the old
Kelly on there.
The old taped updates.
Yes.
I don't know if you get more screw ups with the taped or they're better when they're live and they go bad. Because I've got a few classic live screw ups.
You have a few.
Oh gosh.
I think
we had.
I think
right
Brandon
here.
Beam is the champion.
Brandon
no
Beam,
way.
The Columbus JOs.
I don't have any of him.
You do. It's the best.
It's in the system.
Yeah, okay. We've got that. We'll put that on the podcast version of it. But and since this is the podcast version and there are no rules, I'm interrupting myself to play that great classic Brandon Beam clip where he
is trying to talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets, and, well, you get the point.
You already know this, but a former Buckeye, Ryan Dezingle, was traded to the CBJ. What can we expect out of him tonight as the Jackoffs, or excuse me, as the Jackets square off with the Flyers? You're listening to the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
Locally owned and operated.
Boy. And here's Beam having a total stroke. I thought he was dead. I thought he was dying. And these were his last breaths doing an update, probably on a Buckeye football game day. Here we go.
Conference championship weekend in college football. Ohio State getting ready to take on the Wisconsin Badgers tonight. Excuse me. Had a little Paul Keels action right there. Badgers tonight. From Lucas Oil Stadium, Ryan Day knows it's going to be a tough task.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job against us, especially in the first half. You know,
Don't you say you're having a little Paul Keels action. That's some Beamer action right there. That's what that is. Okay. Back to the podcast extra you are listening to. Get to this guy. Get to Common Man. Get to Mike Riccardotti. And one of them's from a show. First one you're going to hear is from an old, old show.
Spiel one on sports.
Some of these emails, Mike, are crazy.
Want to share?
Yeah. Is anything sacred at Ohio State anymore? What's next? Woody Hayes' grave presented by Duraflame. How long will it be before going to the game at Massengill Ohio Stadium? You think I'm being extreme? I'm not. What's to stop them?
I have a question. Maybe this is a stupid question. What is Massengill?
I don't know.
You read that like you knew what it was. Do we know what it is?
No, I don't. I have no idea. Thank you, Bob, for that information. Now that I know that,
oh, God.
Just find out.
We know what the product of Massengill is.
No, that's great. That's all I need to know now. I got $3. I got to worry about everything.
Oh. Hey, everybody. Do you like my laugh?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
He hates his laugh.
Oh, my God. It's so wonderful. Laugh.
That's what you sound like.
You were his producer?
No, I think I was in my studio and I heard them and I ran in and told Ted.
Oh, no, he wasn't producing.
No?
Just burn that tape, will you please?
No. I don't burn myself.
What is Massengill?
I've forgotten what it is.
Douche.
Oh, dude. You can just say feminine hygiene product.
Right.
That's not what I told your producer.
It's a brand name. it's a brand name.
Yes.
All right. Bob, play the clip of the woman doing voice work butchering Mike's name now.
Yeah, she came in. She wanted to do some voice work for us. She thought she had a lovely voice. It sounded okay on the phone, and then I gave her a script to read.
Sports Radio 1460 The Fan invites you to join Mike Riccardotti this Saturday. Mike Riccardotti. Mike Riccardotti. Riccardotti. Mike Riccardotti. Ricker-er. Mike Riccardotti. Oh, my God. I am cutting his name up so bad. Riccardotti. Mike Riccardotti. Mike Riccardotti. Is that bad here? Is that better?
Okay. No. I'm telling her over and over. Over and over.
Join Mike Riccardotti.
Now she could just say the Common Man.
Yeah, that's a little bit easier.
Right, before those times. No Mark Riccardi in there, just a lot of butchering Riccardottis. And what's the other one that you have promoting him? Play that for him.
Mike Riccardotti.
What is that from?
I had cheerleaders in the studio for some kind of spot, and we had them do Mike Riccardotti, Kirk Herbstreit, or ooh, hi Herbie, you know, that kind of stuff.
I'm sure he enjoyed it.
And then it was just a big laugh. I've got that whole session somewhere, but on a cassette gathering dust.
Well, one more thing I want to listen to because, this is an example of why we don't have callers on the coaches' shows anymore. And I don't even know that this, I don't think we killed this too long ago. I believe Urban Meyer was still taking calls on that show for a time being. And it was after one of the midseason losses where they just decided to go away with it. And it was from that point on, Ryan Day's show doesn't have call-ins. They'll do some emails. There's places you can go on the internet.
Well,
the show used to be called the call-in show.
Whoever the head coach is, call-in show.
Right. Yeah.
And we used to make the joke, like, how many calls did they take? Because sometimes it would be two or three. Right. They'd barely take calls. When they did, they were stupid. And we always said, get rid of the calls.
No one cares about the calls.
Well, and everyone would try to tune in to a coach's call-in show after a horrendous loss. Because they would want to see what kind of caller could get past the call screener. And a lot of people would actually disguise their voice or say that they were going to say something, you know, nice and friendly or just a softball kind of question. And then it would be a bomber that would get in. It'd be totally different. But or you would just get a whole lot of stupidity. That was one thing that happened. You have a Randy Ayers
call-in
show clip, right?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for the calls from Cleveland. We will come back to Columbus, and you're up next with Randy Ayers.
All right, thank you.
All right, sir, do you have a question or comment?
Question.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you have a question for Coach Ayers? All right, we're going to move back to Columbus, take another call, and you're up next with Randy Ayers.
Hi, Coach Ayers and Craig. How are you doing this morning? I mean, this afternoon.
Fine. How are you doing?
We're good. I don't know what time it is.
Randy, we're going to try and sneak in one more call, and you'll have to do it quickly. You're up next with Coach Ayers.
Okay, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes?
Do you have a question?
I sure do.
Go ahead. Speak right into the phone.
Coach?
Yes. How you doing?
Very good.
By the way, this is every caller today on Paul Feinbaum's show.
Oh.
Paul?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I can hear you. Paul?
Got a question for you.
How are you, Paul?
Please. Yeah, I love how he's just repeatedly saying, yeah, ask the coach your question. Coach, hey. Yeah,
talk right into the telephone. That's what Terry used to always say. Talk right into the telephone, sir. Don't listen to the radio.
Well, this was riveting. Bob Taylor,
this was riveting.
Master of production. How many more years are you going to be here? Another 30?
Two.
No, Bob's not. You're not allowed to leave.
I'm 60, man.
It doesn't matter. What are you talking about?
It matters to me.
You can't leave until I leave. I'm too set in my ways. I can't.
You want to announce you're leaving?
I can't have another production guy. You've been the only one that I know.
That's true. Well,
you can't leave. You're not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, who would we get? Who does this job anymore?
There's a few of us out there.
Just going to have to train some moron up to do it as good as you. It's not going to be possible.
Please. Please.
No. And Common Man, how many more years for you?
This is it. This is the last show for me. This is it.
And I can go too. Yay. This segment is going to be my last.
Let's all end it together. Come on. 100 years. Let's all, big giant F word on three.
Because once I re-listen to this, 3, 2, 1,
fudge. You didn't play the fart, the woman farting.
What woman farting?
This is the most classic blooper we have.
Play it. I want to hear it.
We'll play the woman farting then. If you can actually find it.
I'm terrible at this.
Frederick, if I have a chance, is that there will be a reception. I dropped my papers here.
That was a public service show. There's two women in a booth, and she was having some gas problems, and finally
the
just,
one talking or the boop. Other one?
The one talking. I believe. I wasn't there as someone else was recording that.
I've never farted on the air before.
I've farted in here many times.
Sometimes I get a little gas pain in there, and you have to let them go.
You ever have a loud one?
No.
No. I guess that's just knowing your body.
I try to do that.
You know it's not going to make noise. That's why we should have wooden chairs. So it'll really bounce right off of it and make for great radio.
Just for farting.
For sound. Yeah, entirely.
I've had a co-host vomit on the air.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, in a bucket.
Whoa.
During a segment.
Did he at least turn the microphone off?
Yeah. Yes.
And then leaned over.
Who was that?
Torg.
Okay.
He was that sick and tried to power through a show.
And he had, there was another time he had kidney stones. And they were so painful that he was stabbing himself in the knee with a ballpoint pen to try and get rid of the kidney stone pain, or at least give him something else to worry about. And so I just look over. I'm trying to do a segment. I just see him, right in the knee. With a ballpoint pen.
Oh, man. That much pain. That had to be rough. All right. Well, gentlemen,
That's all right, thank you, Timmy. I'm leaving.
That's all the time that we have.
That's thank all the you, time Timmy. Anybody has.
That's it. Bob Taylor, our master of production. Mike Riccardotti, the common man from Common Man and T-Bone from 3 to 6. Happy 100 years, woo! WBNS.
No one else? No.
All right, I'll help him out. Woo, yeah, let's go. Fan turning 100, baby.
You're on the podcast only edition right now. I hope you enjoyed that, but stick around because Big Time Voice is coming at you right now.
WBNS 1460.
All right, it's the podcast-only version, celebrating 100 years of WBNS. The last voice you're going to hear is one of the biggest, the legendary voice of the Buckeyes. He's in his 25th year, Paul Keels. Here's my conversation with Paul. All right, folks, as we roll along here, it's our 100th anniversary, and we had to get this fine gentleman in here to catch up with things because he's been, what is it, Paul Keels, about
not a quarter century?
Years. Not 100.
Yeah, 25 years this year, yes. This is the 25th year.
25% of those 100 years, that's quite a legacy. Of course, he is the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. And Paul, it was fun catching up with you doing some of our Buckeye replay episodes this past summer. And I guess this isn't going to be a whole lot different than some of those catch-ups, but of course, Ohio State football, I don't know if I would say that's a small part. I think it's kind of a big part of the 100-year history of this station because it's been a long time since we started this relationship. And I mean, you've been around this city for a long time now. There isn't really a whole lot of things that are more of a part of the fabric of this community than Ohio State sports, especially the football program.
No question. And it certainly is something that has been a big part of what our radio station has done for a long time, longer than either of us have been here. But, you know, in thinking about all of those years, it makes you think about all of the people that have come and gone as well, Tim. Just so many wonderful and talented people, so many great memories with some of those people. Presently, we're in the third building that has housed the radio station since I've been here. When I got here in the August of 1998, we were downtown in what now is the Columbus Commons across from the Grayon Station. And the City Center Mall was still on the backside of it. And
wow,
that made for a lot of interesting things. Some of us parked in the parking lot where the Columbus Dispatch building is when our companies were together at that point. So, you know, going through three buildings now and all of the different people that have been involved in all of that, it brings just through those 25 years a lot of great memories, and I'm sure for others who are around longer, even more.
Paul, I'm thinking of I didn't get to see the downtown building because when I started here, we were at the Brewery District. I'm picturing like straight up WKRP in Cincinnati, like with
not quite,
the 70s style studios or all that.
Maybe some parts were even dated older than that.
Wow.
But we were up in like the 23rd or 24th floor. It was the 20 something floor in that building. So, long elevator rides, narrow hallways. You know, at that time, our two stations operated as two different on-air properties. You know, Mix 97.1. Actually, it was Oldies at that point when I got there. So you kind of had on-air staffs in different areas. The sales staffs were kind of in the same place. There was a kitchen that was kind of in the middle of the building, just off the back of what was the main entrance. So it was kind of narrow hallways, narrow work areas. And then when we got down into the Brewery District, it was a little more wide open where there was a little more elbow room. Now we're kind of in a different type of narrow facility, but there was some dating that involved that building.
Yeah, that seems kind of crazy. I've never worked in a radio setting more than 20 stories up in the air in a building.
Well, I have.
It's
I've been close to 30 in one of them. So it's, you know, just depends on the building you're in, but it was you know, and the neat part about it then, Tim, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, that's when you could see downtown kind of start to get restarted. We knew, at least when I got here in 98, the Blue Jackets franchise had already been granted. They didn't start playing for a couple of years, but you started slowly to see some of the things that went on to get downtown to where it's also, you know, we were just a couple of blocks away from the state capitol, from the state house. So that was kind of interesting to take in some of the things that went on from the state house to where we were, to the City Center Mall, the hotel that was right in between.
Yes, so you've kind of gotten a few different looks of going to work each day, at least your daytime part of the job, not the going and traveling with Ohio State football and calling all the home games at the Shoe and going to cover basketball games, But for where you go from day to day, you've seen three different parts of the community there. But, I mean, when you – I guess the listeners might like to hear you tell about the beginning. Like, when you took this job, like, if you could give a brief background of how it came to be – obviously, you were doing some play-by-play already. You'd had some tremendous experience. And then when this job came about, how did that all settle and fall into place?
Well, I was fortunate after having worked in the Detroit market for years, having worked at the network level in Washington, D.C., I had the chance in 1989 to return from D.C. back to my hometown of Cincinnati and start to do games for the University of Cincinnati Bearcats. Had one season of doing the Bengals on the radio, had filled in doing some of the Reds on the radio. But returning to my hometown was really a big deal, and my parents were still living there, a lot of great lifelong friends, and never envisioned leaving Cincinnati until I got a phone call from a gentleman by the name of Ed Douglas, who at that time was the executive producer of the Ohio State Network, and had contacted me because they envisioned the position was going to be open. And it was something that just couldn't have imagined was going to be open. There had been noise and an effort made to get a new agreement for me to remain in Cincinnati. But the thought of coming to do Ohio State football and subsequently Ohio State basketball was a big lure. It was something I talked with my father while he was still alive an awful lot about, a few select friends. And it was a tough but an easy decision. But part of what made it easy was I was only a couple of hours away from my hometown and family. And then when I decided to take the job, I had to stay quiet for a couple of weeks about it because of the personnel change that was going to be involved in it. So it was a little stressful. I can tell you this, Tim, I made the decision to take the job while I was in San Diego filling in doing a Red series in San Diego with the Padres. And it was, you know, from a professional standpoint, the best decision I've ever made.
Interesting. Do you remember what you were doing, or what was it about where you were or what you were doing in San Diego that it clicked, that
just
this
only,
is the decision
only
I have to make?
That I, by the time I was going to be done, that was kind of the loose time frame that a decision needed to be made.
Okay. It was coming up. You kind of had it. You probably in the back of your mind had decided,
well,
I think I got to do this.
Well, that's when I talked with Ed about it and said, hey, when I come back from this series, I'll make a final decision, and just kind of knew where it was going.
Right.
The great thing about it was neither choice was going to be a bad choice. But I will also tell you too, Tim, one of the more disappointing things that happened when I lost out on the opportunity to continue to do the Bengals games. I did it for one season in 1996, and the station I worked for had some on-air hosts who had been very irresponsible with their comments about Bengals ownership, and that prompted Mike Brown to take the games away from that particular radio station. Had that opportunity not gone away, it's very conceivable I might not have considered taking this job.
So that's how that worked out for you.
Part of
just
it,
the one year. It wasn't anything that I would have never assumed it was anything you did.
It was the last year
to know
of the
you.
Agreement, and because of the contract, he decided to move him away to a different station.
Interesting.
And, ironically, after being here for a few years, when that particular station got the rights back, they approached me about coming back to do the games. And I was too comfortable and too well set with what was going on here.
Yeah, because I'm sure you've got some friends in the biz that have also done that, that have maintained a collegiate, an NCAA play-by-play job. I think Wes Durham for a lot of years did Georgia Tech.
There's
the Falcons.
Yep, Gene Deckerhoff with Tampa Bay, Dan Horton in Cincinnati. And it's a tough thing to do. But it was a great thing in 1998 to move here and to really see how Columbus has changed so much, but it's been wonderful to be here all those years and to see all the things that have changed with our station.
Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State, also a great update anchor here on The Fan, been around for 25 years. Yeah, you kind of mentioned it right there, just how great it's been, but could you have envisioned it going any better, any smoother? A couple national championships, the friends you've made, being in this town and, you know, being really somebody that's been listened to as much as probably anybody here in Central Ohio, and because it's the Buckeyes, and like we started off, it's such a part of the fabric of the community. You're the voice that brings that to the people. You probably would have to pinch yourself to know how long you're going to be remembered for how you've been associated with Ohio State.
Well, but it's not about me. It's about the great passion that fans have for it. And, you know, as you said, two national championships, three other national championship game appearances, three Final Fours, although one has been vacated. The coaches at Ohio State that we've dealt with, you know, starting with John Cooper and Jim O'Brien, going on through Thad Matta and Chris Holtman, and certainly Jim Tressel, Luke Fickell, now Ryan Day with what he does. The players that you see as they're playing, but then a lot of them you really get to know more after they're done playing and they circle back to Columbus. But, you know, what's been great for me, Tim, is so many of the people that have worked here for this station and for our network staff, and so many of them that have come and gone, and people that really have become, even outside of work, such incredible friends. Some that were incredible friends before they got here. And I've always told people, one of the great things about this business is the people business, the people you get to meet, the people you get to work with, and the people that you form friendships outside of work with, and just a lot of great memories with the people who've come through these doors in the last 25 years as coworkers.
Before I let you run, Paul, and thanks for this catch-up here for 100 years of WBNS, we could sit here. There's probably 10,000 clips in our audio system of you calling football. Like, there's so much, like, it's crazy, of every game going back to 2002. That's actually where our digital library ends. So if I wanted to go back and pull something from the very first game, I'd have to go barking up the Skip Mossick tree to get that. West Virginia 1998.
West Virginia, yeah.
Yeah, but Here's the 60-second version of one of all Buckeye fans' favorite calls, where it's you and your pal Jim Lachey in the booth as Ohio State and Miami winds down in 2002.
Defense! Defense!
Andre Johnson, Ethnic Sands, wide right. Roscoe Parrish, wide left. Peyton alone in the backfield. Dorsey under a center, Romberg. Sands motioning. Back is Dorsey to throw.
Yeah!
He throws it in the end zone.
Yeah!
It's incomplete.
Yeah!
The Buckeyes win the national championship as defensive pressure got to Ken Dorsey and forced him to throw an incompletion. C. Grant right on the spot, and in two overtimes, Ohio State grabs the national championship and ends Miami's 34-game streak.
Wow! Can you believe it? Buckeyes come with the blitz. They come with the pressure. I'm speechless, Paul. This is unbelievable the way this team has fought.
They never make it easy.
Never
make it easy.
But they've never quit.
And in two overtimes, Ohio State, in a game in which penalties in the overtimes played a big part of it. And for the first time since 1968, the Buckeyes are the kings of the college football hill as they beat Miami 31-24 in two overtimes.
Paul, it's a great call. It's a clean call. It features both of you. I'm not you. I can't imagine you'd want to change anything about that in the spur of the moment and how that came out. But I'm sure you like to critique yourself sometimes and you listen back to that. What does it bring out?
Well, you know, a number of thoughts, Tim. First off, all of those teams that Coach Cooper had that had close calls and losses to Michigan or in 98 to Michigan State that kept them from playing for a national championship. The 2002 season, with how unlikely it was with all of the close calls they had. Thinking about the Buckeye fans who were just riveted all season and all night that night, a long night in Phoenix through that championship game. But I do remember, and one of our former on-air people, Chris Spielman, who was doing the pregame show that night, asked me the question, what are you going to say if they win the national championship? I said, Chris, you don't pre-plan those things. You don't, you know, that's not something that you can try and plan out ahead of time. You just let it come naturally. And that's what happened. And you even add to the fact that earlier on, we thought it was over and Miami had won. But then there was the late penalty flag that kept the game going. So it just was just as unlikely as it was for that team and in that game to win the national championship. That's what, and makes that one stand out so much more than 2014. It really does, because 2014 was a completely different script. They lost the second game of the year, but played their way back into the playoffs. This one, it was just so many harrowing games that they could have easily lost. Even think about, if they'd had a Big Ten championship game that year, they would have played Iowa with Brad Banks, who was a Heisman finalist, and who knows how that would have gone. So it just brings up a lot of thoughts, but the most prominent one is just how thrilling it had to be for Buckeye fans.
Well, Paul, hopefully we have several more years to, I know you for one, to put some imprints on, you know, everything that you do around here, but 100 years, as we say, of WBNS, and we're all just a little part of it here, but I mean, 25 years, that's a heck of a run. That's a heck of a run anywhere, and still going strong, man.
You know what those call letters stand for, though, don't you?
I just listened to it.
Books, News, and Shoes.
Yeah, Books, News, and Shoes. Yeah, I just listened
books,
to it.
Books, News, and Shoes.
In Skip's, we played that off the top of the show. But
It's been wonderful having Paul Keels with us for our 100-year special. Cheers to many more years.
Well, sounds good. Glad to contribute to it.
All right, I want to thank everybody that stuck around and listened to all of these little extra snippets and extra content on the podcast only of this 100 years of WBNS special. It really is you guys, the listeners, that have allowed this to be a thing, to hit the century mark. We're only as good as the people that support us and listen to all of our content, our shows on our different platforms, our podcasts, our play-by-play broadcasts, all of it. And I, for one, I feel lucky to be a part of it. And I just want to thank everybody who helped put this 100-year celebration together. Everyone from our head honcho, the Platinum Fox, Todd Markowitz, our guy Scott Prokop, and Brad Murray in promotions. Of course, that's Sticker Brad, as you know him. And everybody that was on the show here, from Skip Mossick all the way to T-Bone, Dom Tiberi, Paul Keels, who you just heard, Bob Taylor, and the common man, Mike Ricciardotti, and to all of our hosts that are doing a great job on their shows right now. I know we got a lot of great stuff, being live and local from 6 a.m. all the way to the end of the Buckeye show at 8 o'clock, and some of our other specialty evening programming. I think we got a great thing, and you guys are telling us that. You guys are showing us that by how you listen. And again, it's been great. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know where to find us, right? Your shows all have podcasts. You know what time your favorite show starts on the Fam. Let's make it another 100 years, huh? 138-year-old me, still here doing radio. Ooh, go Buckeyes. JT Barrett the ninth with a touchdown pass. Yes. Okay. Very stupid. I know. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call